This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 248 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with the entire Franklin Public Library staff. Yes, indeed, we had all of them. To have a conversation via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. We talk about how the library has become virtual, continuing to provide their services. I learned that in addition to the library page, Facebook, Instagram, they also have TikTok and a YouTube presence. Did you know there are 75 databases that are online and available to us? Virtual storytelling, two-minute book reviews, scavenger hunts, and the reintroduction of Doggy Tales, which is scheduled to be a virtual event, are among the topics we covered. The library is so much more than the four walls. It's really more than four walls anyway. As the services and resources they provide online, the more we become aware of, we can utilize during this period, and of course, beyond. Many of the online resources are available with your library card and PIN. If you don't have one, you can apply for a virtual one, which will be good for 6 months. This recording runs around 40 minutes, so let's listen into my conversation with Felicia and all the librarians. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM, with, I think, pretty much the entire library staff today. Which is great. Thank you all for participating. So to help with the audio piece, why don't you each introduce yourself or just say your name, et cetera, so that people will be able to at least associate your name and the voice as we continue to go. Start with Felicia.
Okay. Felicia Odi, the library director.
Okay. And hi, I'm Kim Cipolla, the assistant library director.
I'm Vicki Earls, head of reference services.
Callie Keating, youth services librarian.
Bree Como, assistant youth services librarian.
Mitzi Guzzi, also assistant youth services librarian.
Excellent. Thank you for doing that. So clearly we're in the midst or the starting period. I don't want to say midst because that implies an end and we don't know where the end is yet. So we're still in the early days of this pandemic, coronavirus, COVID-19. But you've already had a number of adjustments, Chloe, from even the very first days through to, you know, where you are now, and there may be still be some evolution stuff. So what I'd like to accomplish here is certainly giving you the platform to say, how did you get here? And then what are you doing now? So at least people can tap in via the different tools, internet, and otherwise engage if possible. Keep reading alive, at least. Borrow the theme from education, keeping learning alive. Let's keep reading alive. So what did you start with?
So we started hearing stirrings about whether or not we would close in, I think the last day that we were open to the public was Friday, March 13th. And at that point, we had been talking amongst ourselves and had heard that some libraries were doing curbside delivery. And so we had a lot of items on the hold shelf for our patrons. And we wanted to provide some kind of service because even though we were closed to the public, the next week we were still reporting to work. So what we did was we developed a system where the patrons would put their items on hold or they already were on the hold shelf. They would drive to the library, they would give us a call, and then we would put the items in a box outside the door. So it was completely free of contact. And it worked out really well. So we were able to do that for the week that we were still reporting to the building.
I heard lots of good things about that during that period.
Yeah, people were really pleased and we still wanted to provide service and get items to our patrons. But then unfortunately that had to end when we were no longer able to go into the building that Friday the 20th, I believe.
Yeah, that complicated matters just a little bit. But you're so resourceful, then you figured out other things to do.
Yeah, I think our minds were really racing about, like, well, now this is the time that we can really promote our online resources because we have so many great things that people can use remotely. And then our youth services department was really getting ready to do streaming story times. And they really were, everyone was brainstorming about what can we do to offer the public, because we just didn't stop. We just kept going, trying to offer things to the public.
And amongst those things, at least from what I've seen, you've got an Instagram, which I hadn't been following, and now I am following a little bit more closely. You've got a bunch going there, in addition to Facebook.
All right, we have presence on YouTube. We have Mitzi's been doing YouTube videos, tutorials on how to use our online resources. We have Facebook, of course, Instagram, and Twitter.
Oh, and Twitter as well. Oh, cool. I'll have to look that one up. That one somehow slipped my radar, which is always in an evolutionary state of finding new things.
Yeah, I think one of the sort of big questions that came up right off the bat was sort of like, you know, thinking about what our role is initially, just, you know, with like what we provide to our patrons, whether it's connection, you know, resources, services, and how can we make that translate, you know, at least just speaking for the youth services department, you know, just having our programming is a huge part of what we do, having families have a place to go, to get out of the house and, like, you know, kind of engage with their kids and sort of speak to all those developmental milestones and everything. So that was sort of like at the forefront. And like Tim said, you know, a lot of librarians had sort of been thinking about that off the bat. So we kind of jumped on the bandwagon pretty early with trying to provide virtual story times and virtual programming to our patrons. So that was something we knew we wanted to do right away. So we were able to do it for that first week when we were still in the building. And then we brought it home. So
keeping reading alive.
Definitely, definitely.
And you've got some scavenger hunts, at least amongst other things, perhaps, that I at least have seen some scavenger hunts to at least keep people both engaged and active and following and coming back.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think we've always sort of had at the forefront of our mind too, is sort of like, how do we connect, how do we get the entire family engaged, right? So we offer these live story times, and those speak to a certain, you know, age range and population, and we try to keep it as open as we can. But also just trying to get everybody in the family connected. So, and not just our kids, but also like our teens. So Miss Bree has had it, actually, this is another social media for you. She actually has a really fun TikTok account and working on. Been great just connecting with the teens and sort of getting them involved. We actually had a virtual teen advisory board meeting last week on Google Hangouts with our teens that are, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And challenging them to come up with like book reviews to submit and all sorts of, we've had kind of a running thread of like, what's keeping you, like, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Like, what's keeping you going? That they've all been contributing to. So for the scavenger hunts, that's been a really fun way to kind of get like the grownups and the older kids kind of engaged. So Bree's been running the alphabet scavenger hunt, and the Peter Rabbit scavenger hunt, which is on our website, was also her brainchild. And Mitzi was like, jumped right on, and they hid the eggs. So that actual like pictures, images of eggs, there's 8 of them that are hidden all around the website, which also like serves to help people sort of have a reason to navigate our website and to get more comfortable with that as well. So there's like a ulterior motive here and there.
Never clicked on that link. Maybe I can go find, oh, look, there's an egg.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, in the searching for the eggs, it's a whole, yeah, exactly. Like, turns out you become an expert on the website. And yeah, and if Steve, if you go do that and submit your answers to us, there may be a virtual prize in it for you. So. Just yes. A little incentive. Yes. So we're just trying to kind of find ways to keep people engaged. If they can't log into, like if they can't tune in during our live events, this is sort of something that they can still be a part of, you know, outside of, you know, our live things.
Right. As well. Now, some of the live events, at least I think via Facebook and I think even in the Instagram videos, you can certainly go back and participate, at least view them again. Obviously, you're not live, but it's kind of re-recorded. So you can at least watch that way.
Yeah, the 2-minute book reviews definitely are something that's a recording. This new video scavenger hunt we're trying out, where like I am clueless and the kids need to help me figure out where the clues are leading. That one's a recording. Yeah, that was an idea from my family. My cousin was doing one like that with her nieces, and I was like, oh, we could do that with our kids. Like, just pretend we don't know any better, and they'll look. And I think they've been having a little fun with that. Yeah, that's been sort of something that they can kind of tune into on their own time, which is good. So the story times that we've been offering are very purposefully live, though, because and this is something that had come out, you know, right from the get-go, as librarians were trying to figure out how to bring story times online and do them virtually, and you know, kind of provide the highest quality product for our family.
Sure.
Yeah, that's sort of something that's at the forefront. So like a lot of discussions have been coming out about best practices and how to do that. And so the great thing was, like, as soon as this all sort of started and the rumblings of libraries being closed and programming moving virtual kind of was becoming a reality, a lot of librarians and a lot of authors and publishers gave permission right off the bat, sort of, you can read my books, but here, there were parameters, right? So there, you know, by keeping our story time live, that enables us to read pretty much anything, and it counts as fair use, and it's okay. A performance. So that's a way that we kind of avoid any sort of copyright issues and litigation and all of that. We really want to make sure that our story times are, you know, are fun and enjoyable and the best product we can put out there for our families, but also, you know, respect the parameters set forth by publishers and authors. So that's why they're live.
Yes, because sometime after this, they're still going to want to go sell those books.
Yes, exactly.
And we appreciate that.
Definitely. One of the things that's been really kind of fun is to use this time to highlight authors that we love and illustrators that we love, and sort of kind of like, for example, we've just last week during Miss Bree's bedtime story time, which is every Friday night at 6:30, she did a whole sort of Scott Magoon highlight. And so he's an author and illustrator that we were planning to bring to the library in May. So we've actually since rescheduled with him. He's going to be coming hopefully in September, but this is a really great time to be like, hey, if you're not familiar with him, like, here's some of his works. And a lot of them are actually on Hoopla. So that's something that we've been trying to be conscious about, is like, you know, who we're promoting and trying to find ways for families to still go out and like access those works digitally. So,
yes. That's been something. Yeah. Don't just lead them to, and then, oops, you can't go any further than that.
Yeah, here's a beautiful honor that you can't go read that.
Such a teaser.
Try to avoid that, but yeah.
Thinking through from an information protection perspective, and that was part of my most recent corporate background, was in information protection, risk management, security. So I certainly appreciate copyright attention and being within the fair use. Absolutely. That's good. It's good to think good to know that you've thought through those things, because unfortunately many people just, they don't think about what's happening next. And yeah, that avoids a whole lot of problems.
It's been really great that the publishers and the authors have sort of stepped up to understanding that these are extenuating circumstances, and, you know, sort of giving a bit of leeway and a bit of a cushion for us to sort of serve our patrons the best way we know how.
Absolutely. And then the right people are going to remember, oh yeah, they did that. Oh, but that one didn't. Oh, so if you got a dollar to spend later, maybe that way's the good way to go.
Yeah
why not? Reward the good behavior.
Mm-hmm. So we did want to highlight one other sort of new program that we're sort of rolling out that is geared towards a slightly older audience than our story time audience. These are for our kind of emerging readers. So I don't know if this is like, if everybody is, if the word has quite spread yet, but we're so excited. Miss Bree has actually offered up the time and the time to spend with her one of her dogs, Tater Tot, who is just the cutest. And so we have historically run a program on a monthly basis at the library called Doggy Tales, in which a trained therapy dog comes into the library and signs for 15-minute increments to read to that dog. And so that was another one that you know, she was like, we have the dog, we've got the time. Like, and so families can actually sign up to have their child read to Tater Tot over Google Hangouts for 15-minute time slot. So that's something that can be scheduled sort of, you know, yeah, on people's own time. So that's sort of another program that's sort of outside of the scope of our live story mm-hmm. time, but that's like super flexible. So that's a really great option. So this is, I feel like this is a great platform to kind of highlight that. That's brand new. It's just rolling out like this week. So we're
so good. Good.
The word about that.
Yeah, definitely. And the link, I assume, would be either on the library page or highlighted through Facebook and some of the other posts.
Yeah, all over social media, for sure.
All over. Go! Catch them where they are.
Exactly.
And Mitzi, I think you're the one that's doing the YouTube pieces, getting into yes. some of the other things that the library has that's available online.
Our YouTube channel has not had a lot of content on it historically, so as this has been a great opportunity to experiment and get new things onto that platform.
Sure.
So I'm putting up hype videos for movies, hype videos for books, movies too, Hoopla, all of our content and databases that are available, navigation how-tos, so if this whole internet computer world is a little foreign to you and not quite your speed. Mm-hmm. We have some walkthroughs to kind of point you in the right direction. My current project is getting started with Hoopla and with Libby on PC and also on Android. So for our patrons who are having trouble actually getting access to these products that they should have access to with their library card, kind of getting them through the hoops so that they can have the most fun possible. It's a growing and evolving place. So we're trying new things.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can't bite off the entire apple at once anyway. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you got a really, really big mouth. The apple always tastes much better a little bit at a time, right?
I always bite off more than I can chew, but we're doing it. We're doing it.
Go for it.
So the next steps for that, there'll be more hype videos, more tutorials, more walkthroughs. If, how do I put this? What I would love is if our patrons would subscribe to our YouTube channel, like the video if it had something that was useful for them or enjoyable for them, mm-hmm. And also comment questions and requests for what we could do next. That way, it's another way of contacting us and getting in contact with us, showing, I look at the metrics. I probably look way too much at how many views and likes and all of that our YouTube channel has gotten recently. But any of that is really appreciated, sharing the content out, because we are not the only library with Hoopla and Libby and all of that. So these processes are pretty much the same across. You just have to look for the specific branch and use your specific card for that. So.
But we are the first Franklin Library, if not, excuse me, the first in the U.S. So,
first publicly lending library in the U.S.
Absolutely.
Good. That's the that's the big one, is publicly lending. Yeah. Historically, libraries did not lend whatsoever. You had to be in the building, and being able to take the book home was a huge privilege.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, and I should mention that part of my experimentation is going to move into the live format as well.
YouTube Live. Cool.
Yes. I'm going to be doing a lot with games and gaming in the library. I run our D&D program at the library normally. And
Dungeons and Dragons, for those who don't necessarily recognize D&D.
True. Very true. As an avid nerd and gamer myself, I want to basically get in touch with my D&D crowd and touch base with them. And so I figure I can play a game, ask some questions, get some answers, answer some questions maybe, you know, just have a good time with that part of the community that means a lot to me.
And you've got a few minutes of time because you're not doing normal things at this point.
Never enough hours in the day, but yes.
The time has just kind of shifted. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. What day is it again?
I think some of you knew that I retired in September, and I figured I'd be having all this extra time to go to places and meet people in person. And now I'm back doing things as if I was working. I'm just having conference calls and video calls. It doesn't seem like I've retired, and yet I certainly have more time to do this, so that's okay.
I think, beyond just the content that we've been putting out on, you know, social media and you know, the ways that we've been trying to engage our patrons sort of remotely, we also did create an entire like work plan of stuff we wanted to do now that we like have the time to do it. The building and sort of not, yeah. So we all took home some different projects and yeah, they're like just sinking our teeth into some stuff that we've been like, oh, it'd be so great if we could like, you know, fix mm-hmm. this aspect of, you know, like I brought home all of our Explorer packs. We've been sort of working through those. We're just trying to like find ways with this time to sort of address like collections issues and things that like, you know, been really wanting to sink our teeth into. I've been playing around with the summer reading lists and trying to make that a lot more user-friendly and intuitive when we're back. This is a really good time to sort of like hit the pause button and say like, what do we want to fix that we haven't had the bandwidth to fix before? And so it's been really great for that as well. So beyond just, you know, you seeing our faces on social media, we're like also hard at work on all of these little projects as well.
If anything, I think that has been echoed in almost all the conversations I've had. Most folks are saying they're actually working either longer or more, not necessarily harder, because you're certainly, you know, the commute is a little bit easier in most cases, but you are doing more. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, when does learning ever stop anyway, right?
Right. Well, there are some aspects of our organization that still never stop. Like, we still keep getting bills. And, you know, behind the scenes, you know, I'm mm-hmm. still doing accounts payable. And actually, I go to the library now once a week to empty the book drop because people are still returning their books. So just wanted to say, please hold on to your items until we reopen, which is right now supposed to be May 4th, but we're not going to charge fines.
There is a grace period.
Oh, absolutely. Due dates have been extended until June 30th. People's library cards have the expiration dates have been extended until May 31st. So there's no rush to bring things back to the library. Don't risk, you know, your safety or health to return your items. We're very forgiving. And of course, please don't put any donations in the book drop, which is something that's a little bit, but it's okay. Please hold on to your donations. And see if there's any. Oh, and we are still available to answer reference questions and library card questions. We do have a really cool feature on our phones. It's voice to email. And also you can still call us, but also the email address frkill@minlib.net will send your email to our trusty reference librarian, Vicki, and mm-hmm. she will help you out with all your reference questions, and she can check on your library card so we can take care of those kind of issues for you.
Good segue. So two things, and then we can kind of segue into Vicki anyway, but for those who may have been struggling because they don't have their whiz, their piece of paper, pencil, etc., we will include that email and other contact info in the show notes so that as you do listen to this, we'll be able to give them some rich content as well in the show notes. But then that may lead to some additional questions. And if they're the research kind, you're still on duty doing some research.
Absolutely. Answer research questions, genealogy questions. Also, you know, issues with your library card, always ask, we can fix it for you. Sometimes people don't know what their PIN number is, which is important for using pretty much anything on the online system. So we can, you know, make sure that's all set up for you. Yeah, please ask if there's a question. If you have an issue with using your Kindle, downloading an app, anything like that, we're happy to help.
One thing to mention, possibly, Vic, if people change their passwords on Minuteman, it does not recognize symbols when you try to put the code, when you try to put your password in. You have to use numbers or letters. If you use a symbol in your password, it will error out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we can fix any of that.
We can fix any of it. Yep.
Yeah. And also, a lot of people don't realize that when they apply for the library card, they actually get a default PIN number, which is the last four digits of their library card. But if they want to change that, they can also, you know, change that with us as well. But try that first. That might work.
Yes. I was going to say, as you mentioned, I didn't want to expose myself because I haven't used it that much, but I do go to library frequently, but for other purposes, which is still good because that's, the library is more than just books anyway, as we've talked about.
Absolutely.
But my mental thought was going, what is my PIN? And since it was relatively new, it's probably the same four digits because I haven't changed it yet. So,
yeah,
that'll avoid an email or phone call for you.
And if people don't have a library card, it's not too late. They can still sign up for an online library card that's good for 6 months. And then that enables them to use our online resources to download audiobooks and ebooks from OverDrive and Libby, access Hoopla, which is audiobooks, ebooks. They can stream movies, also Canopy, which is a streaming service that they can use a library card to get into. It has documentaries, world cinema. It has, some classes. It's really amazing resources available to our patrons.
Yeah. There are 75 databases in all once you get to that list, and 22 of them are exclusive to Franklin residents that Franklin Library provides. You should check out all of the items on the list. Are amazing, but we have some really exceptional ones, like you've been hearing a lot about Hoopla. That's streaming audiobooks, some ebooks, movies, music. That's a very popular one, and it's a huge collection, and I definitely recommend people check that out. A Canopy, Kim was just talking about, streaming movies. So they're all, when streaming, it's always available. Yeah. Unlike OverDrive, where you may have to make a request because there are only so many digital copies available, Hoopla, Canopy, they're always available. They're streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you probably just rattled off maybe five or six, but you said there was, 75 total?
25 total, because some are provided by the network, Minuteman Library Network, which we all belong to.
Right.
But 22 are just from Franklin. And we have some databases for like lifelong learning type things. We have something called Universal Class, which has a huge collection of, like, I think there's over 500 courses there that you can access, and you can either choose to work with an instructor, or you can just watch the videos and have it be self-paced. I'm not familiar with the acronym, but it's IACET accredited. So there is some international accreditation there. Yeah.
Continuing education credits. Continuing education credits, units. So if you need to get your continuing education work done for your work, and that's a part of maintaining your licenses or something like that, a lot of the courses on that count towards that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. CEUs. Yeah, I've seen that. I'm a little beyond continuing my education at that from a technical standpoint, but from a number, especially in the risk in tech world, there's a whole bunch of certifications there. And that's always one of the things that each of the membership organizations will get you more credits. So you can you can continue to re-get certified, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah.
There's fun stuff there too. There's a lot of self-help, personal development type things. Definitely check it out.
Mindfulness might be a need these days. There's probably something there too.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. High school students, if you need help in a subject, middle school students, if you need help in a subject, Universal Class does have bonus classes for high school and middle school level English, science, math, the gambit. Excellent. So if you need a little extra help.
And I do want to bring a couple of other databases to people's attention. One is a relatively new one for us. It's called Press Reader, and it is newspapers and magazines from 120 countries and almost as many languages. And the current magazines, current newspapers, you can look at like the most recent issue of the Cosmopolitan in French. And so it's enormous. The Los Angeles Times, if you want to read the current issue of, so that's a really amazing, especially now when people are just sort of hungry for information, hungry for news. And they actually do have on their front page a COVID-19 specific
link to the latest stories,
latest information, latest articles. Another database that's also there, not provided by us but by the network, but it's the newyorktimes.com. so you can read the current articles on the New York Times website, where now you get a sneak peek, but unless you it's a pay service, so you can only go so far. But if you log on to that database, you can see the entire current website.
You could avoid subscribing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why we're here. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Good.
Although we encourage you to keep subscribed, because that's what keeps the journalism going.
Of course.
They need to get paid.
Definitely.
If it's not something that you can do right now, your library's got you covered.
And they are getting paid just by us.
Yes.
By the library system.
Yes.
So they're not losing anything.
No. No.
Don't feel guilty.
Absolutely. No.
No,
because that's
get your good info.
Clearly, yeah, I'll have the radar out for Franklin specific things. And then when I do pull in, I think it was Washington Post, Boston Globe, The Guardian were just articles in the last couple of days. I always put down on the bottom, to continue online, because I only give them the first couple of paragraphs, staying within the fair use, and then send them to the original source. But I also have to put the line, to continue reading, some subscription may be required, because they vary all over the place, as you know. Some you can get like three free articles, and if that's the first one, then you don't have to have a subscription. But that's the fourth one and you've already had your three, then you're out till next month, or you subscribe. Picking up on the languages in the publication, so if a French student or a Spanish student wanted to practice their French or Spanish, they could go read the magazines and news articles, right?
They may, absolutely. Yes, that's exactly it.
Or whatever other languages they were practicing as well.
Or if you have emigrated to the United States from another country and you want to find out how the news is in your, home country.
Back home.
It's likely that there'll be a newspaper or magazine.
That'll be a good point, because clearly, while Franklin has continued to grow, not everybody has been born here and grown here. I find out when people have left here, because that's part of the subscription. They'll still subscribe to find out what's happening here after they've left.
Of course, yes.
So there are Franklinites all over the place.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if people want to learn a language, speaking of languages, we do subscribe to Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone,
which is an excellent resource for people who want to learn Spanish or learn French, or there's a wide selection of languages available.
And English as well. If English is not your first language, you can also learn English with Rosetta Stone.
Also, many of our databases, especially the ones provided by the state, the Gale databases specifically, there is a dropdown in the upper right-hand corner to select the language that you want to navigate the site in. So if English is not your primary language, if you have a language that you are more comfortable with, you can still do that research. You can still help your kids with that research on those databases in a language that you are more comfortable with.
Yes, that's a good point. Because we all know that there are the young at heart and the truly young. And language, working in the language that you're most familiar with certainly helps. Yes. This has been a learning experience for me too, because as much as I go to visit, there is so much more there than just, you know, proverbially the four walls, but we know there's more than four walls. And now that we can't go to visit, there is still that much more that is still available to get into the library through the library accounts, i.e. your library card, and then get to utilize all the services. So, and one of the features we have out there too is also kind of ask a question, we'll provide the answer, meaning me, I'll get the answer. I'll clearly refer folks with the library questions to you, but if they, the rest of the readers, have a question for us to discuss in the next time we do this, we can do that too.
Wonderful.
So,
yeah, sounds great.
Yeah.
So, Steve.
Felicia.
I love how you say you have learned because from this conversation, because that's what we're hoping the community gets, that they are more aware of all of these extensive online services that we have to offer. And hopefully when this runs, that more people will avail themselves to these. We want them to know that we are still here, even though the library is closed and we can't provide in-person services, we still can help them remotely. And we want to thank them because we are extremely happy to see how they have embraced the virtual story times and the heavy use of the online collections so far is heartening. We want to thank them for that. And we want them to know we miss them. We're yes. always going to stand ready remotely to help them. And they can always count on us, Steve, to do our very best to serve them. I want to add, I have been truly, truly impressed by the staff, their seamless response to the online services. It has been a team effort, and they are working tirelessly to bring all of these beautiful services and all of the programming and all of the collections to the community at this time, just to keep them busy, give them something to take their minds off. It's a trying and a very unsettling time for everyone. And what the library does best is help make things better for people. And we will continue to do so. We thank you immensely for giving us this opportunity, Steve, to bring our services to even more people in the community. So this is not to conclude. Anybody has more to add? I just wanted to step in and say, you can see from all of the conversation that the staff has been doing a tremendous job, both in building services, in designing programs, and in getting the word out to the community that all of these services exist. But your reach is even more than ours, for which we are grateful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. If you didn't do what you do collectively, I wouldn't have this to do. So, no, I concur. From my perspective, clearly, I think what you've done is wonderful. And hopefully people will now hear more about it and then come knocking on the virtual doors to utilize more and more of the services. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. So, yeah, then it takes two to tango. Right. So you need the community needs you, we all need each other. I mean, we are in it together. Yes. We'll just get through it together. So this is fine. Any other parting words of wisdom before we kind of wrap up?
I guess I will just emphasize that we really miss our patrons.
Yeah. We're looking forward yes.
to seeing them again soon, I hope.
Yeah. And for those listening, I'm seeing their faces in the little windows, kind of the Brady Bunch type windows. They're all shaking their heads, nodding in agreement with Vicky's comment. So everybody is in agreement. It's not a fake. It's real.
All of our patrons, please find us on our Facebook page. Comment at us. We miss you. We love you. We want to hear from you and know that you're okay as well.
Yes. Well, thank you all for your time and effort. And I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk again.
Very good.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.